Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pardon the sound quality. We had some technical difficulties, bumps, knocks, vibrations, and there are a few expletives, so this may not be for younger ears. We talked spirits and had a few spirits. This is also a part one to a two-part episode, so please watch for part two in the near future. That's enough housekeeping. Let's get to Vicky.
And I saw a demon come through the hallway, a flying demon that was horizontal. And she came through the door and came in straight. I will never forget the voice, the depth of the voice, the energy that came from that voice. And it spoke in Spanish and it said, Soy el Diablo.
I am the devil.
Y te voy a matar. And I'm gonna kill you.
And I'm gonna kill you.
Up to his eyes, and he stumbled and fell. I rode across the creek, got off the horse, and took my rifle out of the scabbard in case I had to make a shot.
For 20 minutes with my spotlight, we watched these two creatures.
I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot.
It's a very ominous feeling. First of all, everything is one color. It's like a dark pewter color. There are no right angles anywhere. There was almost nothing other than a small foldable hatchway that looked recognizable. Everything was really unworldly.
The other option is that these entities are in fact hybrid beings. They are some sort of a hybrid that's coming in and out of our dimension.
My arm contacted him. He just fell back. Very unexpectedly easy into the other one. And I rolled off the table in the other direction. And they came around the table and the three of them were coming towards me.
Hey, what's up, Jared? How you doing?
Good. It's freaking Friday.
Yeah.
It's Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Actually, I was thinking it was 1028. 1028, there's a scary movie that I used to watch that was called 1028. You remember that one?
Yeah. Well, it's cool because it's Halloween weekend pretty much, you know, like Halloween's Tuesday. So we're doing this show and, we have a special guest today. Who's our special guest?
We got Vicky in the house. You know, Vicky, she's a close, I would say relative of mine, obviously and of ours. Cause just so you guys know, she was like an older sister basically. Cause we used to work together in 2007. Can't believe it or not. We're aging ourselves so bad with that, but yeah. So what's up, Vicky? How you doing?
Hey guys. I'm so happy to be here.
Heck yeah.
Welcome. Welcome.
And we have her in studio, by the way, which is pretty cool. We don't ever have anyone in studio. It's actually not even a studio, but we're not going to talk about that.
It is a studio. Stop it.
It's something. It's definitely something.
Yeah, but we wanted to have Vicky on because we were, you know, talking back and forth about experiences and stuff. And she's just got like kind of a plethora of just a bunch of crazy stuff, it sounds like. So like, it's like, hey, come on the show. Like, you got stuff to talk about, you know? We always like the shows where we're talking to like regular everyday people too. You know, like it's not like some author or some like, you know, movie person that's like trying to promote their documentary. It's like a real person that has like crazy experiences, you know? And so I think that hits home hard for me it does, cause I'm regular everyday Joe, you know, I've had my own thing. So pretty cool. So.
Well, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that actually have something that are unwilling to talk about it. So this is a platform, you know, and I'm thankful, Vicky, that you're willing to like come in here and actually give perspective, because I don't know, this stuff's woo. They call it woo in this type of world, and it is woo. It sounds weird, you know? You hear this stuff, but you don't hear it every day, so, like, people automatically go to, this isn't real, or I don't want to believe it, or whatever, but when so many people are having these experiences, and they're so far away from each other, there's things are happening, so, and we can't explain it, really, all the way, but getting the insights are really good, so we're excited to have you, Vicky, for sure.
Oh, thanks. Well, I think it's great that you have a platform that people can feel so comfortable, like, sharing all this information with, right? Like, I told you not that long ago, I heard Jamie's story, and I thought, that gives me courage to share my stories, because you share stories, and a lot of the times they can seem unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to share that with just the average Joe. Yeah. You know, and it makes it comfortable.
So you were fearful before that a little bit?
I was, yeah. I feel like I really only talk to people that are open to hear this type of information. Because
which is so true. I mean, we go out here and we're crazy as hell because we're over here. Bigfoot's real, you know, like posting everywhere. Like, this, look at this post, look at this.
Yeah, but don't even bring that up because I'm so pissed at myself for believing that whole, like, train Bigfoot was real now. Like, I'm, you know, the whole Colorado train. Did you see that, Vicky,
the Colorado Bigfoot?
Oh, my God. No. We got to show you that video. We'll show it to you after this, but it's freaking crazy. I thought it was real for the wildest time, like, the longest time, for a couple weeks, and I think it's fake now. I'm pretty positive.
Oh, yeah.
I still could be proven wrong and someone, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but...
We follow other podcasters, and they broke it down, and there's a person they know that is part of this trailer company that's over by that Colorado area where the Durango train goes.
Okay.
And they have a Bigfoot suit. And this Bigfoot suit.
There's a camp called Sasquatch Camp where they, like, go, like, they get campers coming out and they do.
They were doing it for Sasquatch advertising camp. Or something.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
But it got, like, massive headlines. Like, everyone's like, this is Bigfoot. This is a real Bigfoot. Close to the Patterson-Gimlin film again. Like, this is it. And we kind of believed it for a while there. But hey, you know what? We posted it once or twice on our story, but we didn't go fully all in, so I'm glad we didn't, because, yeah, you always look kind of weird when you do that.
Yeah, no, but I think it's important to keep an open mind, because you never know, like, you have to consider it very least.
Absolutely. But yeah, so Vicky, I know that we're gonna go all over the place on this podcast, so wherever you want to start, like, if you have a place you want to kind of start with and just go into, like, whatever you want to start with, you know, we'll just start talking about it and
I have an idea really quick. She used to work with me at Settlers Point, and we worked there for, what was it? I was at least there for 3 years, right?
Circa 2007-ish.
Yeah. She saw me as a little 21-year-old, you know, little weirdo. Now I'm 35. What's up? But,
let's not even talk about how old I am now.
But for real, so I think, you know, Settlers Point, we had some weird times, and I had no idea that you had, like, some kind of poltergeist type experience there, so I think let's get into that one first and then whatever else you want to get into, but
yeah,
I'm intrigued. Of
course. I don't even know if you remember this, but so we worked together and a lot of the times it was just you and I in the office.
Always.
We had a little bit of a break room area towards the back corner. Do you remember that?
That little kitchen where the coffee was.
And yes. Yeah, yeah. Where we made coffee or like fridge was there and everything.
Yeah.
And there was times where you, Jaron, you and I would stay late and we could hear movement in the kitchen.
That's right. I do remember that.
And we would joke around like, oh, it's the office ghost. And I don't think that we really dove into it too deep. It was kind of an inner joke, but it was stuff that was really happening.
It was like we're being playful or something about it, like making jokes, but
it
was really actually happening. I think maybe I was thinking it wasn't actually happening. It was like we're just kind of making jokes about it, you know?
Sure.
But
so before I started working at Settlers Point, we came and leased at that apartment complex. And I don't know if you guys remember Angie Tolman.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. Mm-hmm. She was my leasing agent. We got in there. Julian and I had just gotten married. So it was our very first apartment. We were super excited. I think we paid like $650 a month. Like, who remembers think of that shit?
Wow. Never again.
I know, right?
I would love to, though.
But the very first apartment that we moved into, Julian and I were super excited. I mean, we were just little 19-year-olds moving into this new place, bought all this stuff. Julian used to work nights at that time when he worked graveyards.
Okay.
So it was me really just at the apartment overnight, like continuously, like all the time. Jeez. I think we'd been living there for maybe 3 months and he was still working graves and I started having these like crazy nightmares. Not only had I been living there, I was employed by the leasing office, the property management company at
that time. I wasn't working there yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Was that Pinnacle?
It was Pinnacle.
Pinnacle back then.
Yep, okay. It was Pinnacle.
Old fax machine days. Dang.
Oh my gosh, remember that? We used to use a typewriter
to
do our
labels.
To
do the leases, you guys. To do labels.
Crazy, I remember that.
We used to fax our applications over.
What about running? Did you ever run a card with the little
carbon fiber?
Paper?
Yeah, we did.
My goodness.
So we moved in. Everything was normal, maybe for about 3 months. We had neighbors upstairs that seemed to have a like super abusive relationship. We could hear like just weird stuff going on up there, just like slamming and just abusive stuff going on. And at that time, Julian and I were only 19. We're super young. Obviously, we didn't want to get involved or anything, but there was always kind of like a vibe going on in that apartment.
Yeah.
After some time, everything actually kind of started at, I remember it was like, I was making dinner one time, and back then we could only afford like Hamburger Helper and stuff like that.
I was envisioning saying that. Right before you said it, I was thinking it. So weird.
Nothing wrong with that. Hamburger Helper is good, you know?
Yeah. We had like a $50 grocery budget.
Yeah.
And so we would shop actually MPS.
Yeah.
Just go and grab whatever was on sale.
But back then, $50 could get you like, you know, a week's worth or something.
Yeah. I mean, Hamburger Helper was $1. You know, we could get our meals in and just have to buy ground beef and whatever. But one particular night, I was cooking dinner. It was on a weekend because I remember Julian being home with me that day. And I remember being like washing the dishes or something. And he said, I'm going to take the garbage out maybe like 5-10 minutes before that. And so I'm cooking dinner. I'm thinking he's already out. Like he took the garbage out. And while I'm over the stove, I feel like a hand kind of caress my butt. And I turn around and I don't see anybody. I'm like, what the hell? Like 2 minutes later, Julian comes in through the front door. And I remember asking him like, hey, did you like tap my butt or anything before you left or whatever? And he was like, what are you talking about? I've been gone for like the last 5-10 minutes. I got caught up talking to the neighbor outside. I just got back in. And I was like, okay, kind of dismissed it. Didn't think too much about it. The next night, I started having these weird nightmares that kind of build up, like, night by night. So it was just, I want to say it was a vibe, because I was a nanny back then. So Julian worked, you know, during the graveyard shift.
Okay.
And we really only saw each other for, like, maybe an hour or
it's
two.
Like, what, like 9 p.m. to 3 in the morning or 4
yeah,
in the morning or something?
Yeah, no, and then he would sleep until maybe, like, 2. And by this time, I was already at my nanny job, but I would make it back home, like, an hour before he left for the work day. And we would watch Wayne Brady. I don't know if you guys remember
Wayne Brady
show.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
He's the Whose Line Is It Anyway guy or whatever it is. Yeah,
he can do anything.
Awesome. That guy's crazy. He was on Masked Singer, too, and he was amazing on that. He was one of the best.
He was a fox. I love Wayne Brady.
Everyone thought he was Jamie Foxx because he was a fox. The character was a fox.
Oh, yeah.
And he sounded like Jamie Foxx.
Wasn't he the card guy on Cuphead and Mugman?
Yeah.
Okay,
there you go.
We're being Cuphead and Mugman. It's a cartoon show.
I love that. I know exactly what you're talking about. I love it.
That's Cuphead.
So I feel like it gradually kind of built up. That was my very first experience. A lot of the times I would go and see Julian overnight, like bring him lunch. And we had my little toy poodle, Hershey's. He was like my faithful companion, and that was my little guy. But there was definitely times during the week that I wasn't able to go and see him overnight, right? So this happened on a weekend. I think I want to say like Tuesday of the next week. I started having these nightmares, like super vivid nightmares. I've always had really, really lucid dreams, but this felt like something different. You know, we were just newlyweds then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night, I think it was the following weekend, I had a dream and I didn't know, but I started crying in my dream. I don't even remember what it was about. And Julian, I remember waking up to him, like, shaking me and saying, like, hey, babe, like, are you okay? What's going on? This guy sleeps through everything. Trains, earthquakes, probably everything, right?
Deep sleep, yeah.
And I remember him telling me the only thing that wakes me up is if you're crying.
It's like unsettling to him. It's
yeah,
an unsettling like, sound. It's a father's instinct too, and a husband instinct.
Absolutely,
crying, you know.
So I remember that one night I just woke up crying. He was like, "Are you okay? Is everything okay?" I didn't recall much of my dream, and I was like, "Yeah, I feel like I'm fine." And then the new week began, and I started having like nightmares every single night.
Is it the same dream over and over?
It
or
was
like an escalating dream.
I feel like it kind of built up to that. It at first it just felt like a weight on me. Like I was just having these dreams where I felt heavy, and I don't even really know how to explain it. Like it wasn't anything creepy or anything, but it was just a heavy feeling over me. And then it kind of graduated to where that Friday that came along, and it was the last night that Julian was working, and I had this super intense dream that I was in my apartment, in my bedroom where we, you know, like in our actual bedroom, and I saw a demon come through the hallway, a flying demon that was horizontal. And it was a female.
Like Superman flying?
Yeah.
Kind of thing,
yeah.
That kind of vibe?
Yes. And she came through the door and came in straight. And in my dream, I felt oppressed. Like, I just felt a weight on me. And that was, like, the beginning of it. Because I couldn't, like, wake up out of it. Like, I could just see her kind of, like, floating over me, trying to wake up, but I couldn't. And then I would, you know. And then the next day, I told Julian, I was like, you know, I've been having like these feelings. I just feel like super down. I had this dream last night, and I can't really kind of put two and two together. I'm not sure if it's a nightmare,
if it's
something
real.
Is really happening. But then it got progressively worse, where I would see this same nightmare like over and over and over again, to the point where I was afraid to
just
go
to sleep. Yeah.
I was
like
afraid
Freddy
to go to sleep.
Status right there, for
yeah.
Sure.
And I would try to stay up as long as I could.
I know the feeling. I had something similar. It was scary.
It is. And like, how shitty, because we need sleep.
I think that's what that
that's
does.
What they're doing on purpose, is
I think
to try to keep you from sleeping.
Because,
right.
Because like, it's a rejuvenation thing, and if you can't rejuvenate, you're literally just getting
oppressed.
Slowly oppressed,
yeah.
Yeah. And then now you're not yourself. You know how like when you start... You know how when you start getting super tired and you're like, you're so drowsy, you can't even think. So
yeah.
That's the perfect, if it's a demonic possession, it's going
to
be the easiest time. But also it's going to be, it's just a mockery of God's creation, like us as people.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
Like, oh, this is going to be so funny to see these people not even be able to be a person. Like not
yeah.
Even be able to understand what's
function.
Going on. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And now your finances are getting wrecked from it. Your
relationships
are getting wrecked from it
yeah.
And all this stuff. So, yeah, that's scary. Oh.
So, it got so bad at that point. My mother-in-law was super strong in the Pentecostal Christian church, and she was all about prayer and
mm-hmm.
Everything. And it got to a point where I had to call her. And I was like, Mom, I need you to come and pray over me because I'm afraid to go to sleep, but I need to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I felt like I was kind of losing my mind a little bit. And I remember she came over and she prayed over me and... The whole thing, you know, and it kind of went away for a little while. So our lease came to an end and we requested a transfer because we wanted to move into an upstairs unit. And we had that whole like weird domestic violence thing going on
above
upstairs.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when that was going on upstairs, cause I could hear the girl and she would be like, help me. Like
scary. That's scary.
Well, it is scary
oh
because
gosh.
You almost feel like you have a human obligation
to step in,
to respond to that,
right.
You know? But I remember seeing her in the mornings and I'd be like, hey girl, good morning. And she would just act like everything
but
was okay.
You know what sucks about that is like when they're in those moments, even if you went upstairs and
yeah.
You knock, the dude opens the door and he's like, everything's fine. And she's not going to say anything at that
of
point.
Of course.
Because he's the one. He's the oppressor in her life. And
mm-hmm.
So, and then when they do get out of the situation, they feel like they're not good enough for anything else. They kind of fall back into it. It's like, it's
yeah.
Such
right.
Such
yeah.
A sad situation.
It's a cycle.
You know?
So we requested this transfer. And I remember we went to 2216. I will never forget it. It was a beautiful apartment.
The Brookfield side or this?
It was the Settlers side. Because I remember we had the vaulted ceilings.
Settlers was 20, 21, 22. Yeah. I remember those. Yeah, yeah.
It's so crazy that you remember that old property.
It's because it's weird because so for the viewers, the listeners, right? Like this property was weird because it had an older property used to be called Brookfield, and then there was Settlers Point, and it merged into one property. It was two different buildings, two different styles,
yeah,
two different builders all together, right? But like somehow it merged together, so they were totally different products and you know, all together. And so it was funny because it was like, is this the Brookfield side? Like, but they had the same like apartment numbers sometimes.
But Brookfield, you know? Even had like their own pool. They had their own clubhouse. Yeah. Like,
that little weird fitness center
room.
That was in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I remember just really quick, super quick tangent. I remember I was brand new in the business and you were there, I'm sure at that time. You were there. Two worlds collide. No, but for real, I was sitting there, right? And somebody's like, oh, he's supposed to turn in keys and they didn't move out. It was Gene. You remember Gene?
Of course I remember Gene.
He's like, let's go to Fulvio too. Let's get over there. So we get over there.
Fulvio, that guy's crazy.
So those are our maintenance guys at the time. And so we get over to this apartment and Gene's like, the doors are locked. And I'm like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, the doors are locked. And I'm like, okay, so what are we supposed to do? So we try to open the door, and there's a piece of wood, like, wedged to the door so you can't get in. And then we look in, and it's literally, it's the hoardingest place I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're like, we're going to have to go in from the patio. So we, like, jump up a second floor. So we jump up on the golf cart.
He's like, special ops.
And I was skinny at the time, so like, Jaren, you're jumping on top of the golf cart, and we're going to foot you into it, and then you're going to open up the patio and then get us in.
You're like, don't I have a say? You're going to do this? You're going
to do this.
He's like, this is against safety policy.
So OSHA, don't listen to this one episode. But I get in there, and I'm like, ah, this is tough. And I'm like walking around all these like clothing items, and I see them like roaches and all this stuff. I'm trying to wedge this piece of wood to open up the front door, and they're like, get it open. I'm like, I'm trying. And then I'm like, you're making it more stressful. My hands are sweating now. And it was just tough. But I'll never forget that memory. It was so weird.
Good old Gene.
Oh, my gosh.
So we transferred into this upper unit. It was a beautiful unit. I was so happy that we got to transfer, right? You guys, like, 2 weeks in. And, you know, Julian loves guns. He loves knives. Like, he grew up hunting.
And stuff, right? Yeah.
And he grew up knowing how to, like, defend himself. That's one thing Mom and Dad Jaramillo did an awesome job at. Like,
shout out good old boys for that. Like, learning how to hunt and stuff. That's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah.
It's very needed in the world.
But weeks into it, I remember there was one particular night that we were both laying in bed. And back in the day, I mean, we were newlyweds, best friends, and we'd lay in bed and talk for hours. And we'd just, like, talk shit,
those days,
you know?
I love those days, yeah.
And we're sitting there in bed, and I don't know if you guys remember the Settlers Point apartments, but you walk in, you have the living room. The living room had the patio
right there.
Yeah. The vertical blinds, the wraparound kitchen,
and then
the hallway.
They had, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the wood-burning fireplaces were a plus.
Which the pigeons would get stuck in.
And then you had, like, the laundry room in the hallway, the bathroom, and then your bedroom was on the other side.
Yeah.
One night we were sitting there just talking shit, having fun, whatever. And we're getting ready to go to bed. And mind you, we're on the second floor. And we're sitting there, and it's dead quiet. And we could hear the vertical blinds. You know, the vertical blinds make a noise when you, like, scoot them over.
Yeah, and they're loud.
And the patio door, the sliding door, makes a noise, right? So we're laying there, and all of a sudden we hear the patio door sliding open. Just the shh, and then we hear the blinds go.
Ew, somebody's breaking in.
That's what we thought. That's when he grabbed his gun, right? Yes, he did. And he was like, I got it. He was like, babe, roll over the bed. And I remember I rolled over to the other side, and I'm on the floor.
Oh, that's smart of you. Nice.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Well, and you guys, I've never been in a situation like this before. And so I'm like, I've never been around guns. I didn't grow up around guns or anything like that. So this was all super new to me. And I'm like, kind of scared.
You know? It's scary to have a firearm around sometimes, especially if you're not
for sure. But Julian was super comfortable with it. He's like, babe, roll over. I remember him grabbing the gun. He glocked it back and he was standing right by the door. We could hear the blinds open and then we heard footsteps coming from the kitchen into the hallway, and I was like, oh shit, it's going down.
Someone's
like,
in their house.
He's about to get shot. And yeah. He was like ready, like pointing at the door.
And thankfully we live in Utah, so if it really is an intruder, he's going down. You can kill him. You yep. can kill him and it's all right.
No trial, it's good to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then he just kind of waited there. No one ever came through the door. Like maybe 3 minutes passed.
So you guys had the door locked to the bedroom,
and yeah, you were just waiting? And Julian was just waiting.
Okay,
and,
smart.
But the footsteps just kind of went. They stopped, and then we were like, what like there was nothing. All of a sudden, and so he opens the door and he's like, "I'm gonna check." And so he's got his gun. You know, he's like sweeping open. The place. Yeah,
yeah.
He's like, "There's nobody here. The blinds are fine. The door's locked." To the patio.
To the sliding door?
Yeah.
What the heck?
He's like, I don't understand. Okay, wow. We just kind of dismissed it. Like, that was weird, but...
And you haven't heard that in other apartments nearby very easy, right? It wasn't like
right.
as loud as it would be in your apartment.
So exactly. You like, no, we knew for sure.
Because yeah, the naysayers are going to say that. You know, that's
fine. No, right. Yeah. But the thing is that when you live in an environment, you... get used to certain noises.
Very like acclimated to all the right. things around you all the time.
The way yeah, that you your to. Door opens, the when way you that your door shuts.
Like these girls downstairs, they hear me singing all the time. They know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Jared's they're home. Like, oh, Justin the, Timberlake's on yeah. again.
And the girl over there's like, oh, I'm watering my plants. Here he is. He's home. Dang it.
Literally, that happened, and I got a job at the property.
Yeah.
Within like 2 months after that. So I'm working and, you know, I'm getting to know the property and everything. And I remember Ange, who was our leasing manager at that time, because I was brand new. It was me, Ange, and Sarah. And I remember Ange said, oh, yeah, 2216 is where so-and-so killed themselves on the patio. And I remember, I swear, and I remember looking at her and I said, what? Because
she didn't know where you lived yet.
Well, she did. She was my leasing agent. And so she handled the transfer and everything. But now as part of the crew, you guys know, we're not going to be disclosing stuff. Yeah. Like, it's part of the property management business, and we're not required to disclose certain things. And
just like any industry, it's like
sure.
There's stuff that's kind of, you know, mom and stuff that is vocal, you know.
Damn, now you're in the circle. You're hearing stuff.
So now I'm in the circle, and she said that the guy that lived there prior to us moving into there... killed himself on the patio.
Like shot himself or something?
Shot himself. He covered the entire patio area in plastic. And when they went into his unit, there was boxes and boxes of pizza. Like that he was just ordering and like, I guess he loved pizza. I don't know, but.
Who doesn't?
Anyway, he killed himself on the patio. And he made it so everything was clean and no one had to really do a whole lot of
cleanup.
Wow.
After cleanup, yeah. And then when she told me that, I remember going home and I told Julian, like, holy shit, someone died in our apartment. Well, not only did they die, but they took their own life.
It's not coincidence.
You know what the other really weird thing was? We broke our lease. Shortly after that, because the vibe that was in the apartment was too heavy for me. And
right.
I've always been just super sensitive to metaphysical energy or just energy in general. I'm a true Pisces, like yeah. to the core. And
my son's a Pisces, so I love Pisces.
I feel like he has that vibe too.
He does. He's very empathic about things.
Yes.
In general.
He knows what's going
on. We're almost to
it's a
fault.
It's a water sign. So you're very emotional, yeah. emotional based in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah.
So
and we're very cancers. Fluid.
Fluid, that's why we, yeah. Cancers, that's why we all get along so well.
That's probably you know? What it is, but
wow.
we are, I feel like we're just open in a different way because we are so fluid that we're not rigid in any way. We're just like, oh, yeah. cool. Like, this is how you are. I love you and I accept you for that. Like, we're just very... Yeah. flexible, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, like it was just crazy because all of that happened.
That's a
we
crazy
broke the lease
of events for like them to say that and that corroboration of all because you guys thought it was a home invasion situation,
right? No, we legit.
That's oh, crazy.
I will say this: after that happened, I don't know if you remember, if you guys remember, but there was like these attic doors in the walk-in closets.
Mm-hmm. I hated those things. Hated them.
Yeah. One day we showed up and one of the door in our unit was like, it was slid over. God, I feel so Mexican today, so excuse my grammar.
Oh my God.
But it was slid over, and I remember calling the office and being like, did you guys come and like do anything over here? I just, they're like, no, like we haven't been there. I'm like, okay, this is strange, because those doors, if you remember, those panels were nailed in to the attic. Like they weren't
just, you had to take them out with a hammer or something.
And the nails were pulled out. Even to the point where Jillian thought someone had planted a camera.
Was hiding up there or something.
Yeah, he did. Wow. He was like, someone's spying on us, blah, blah, blah. I kind of, inside myself, I thought it was a little bit paranormal. It was like, this is just a little strange. We ended up moving out, and by this time I became leasing manager, and you guys came on. And 2/2/16, we couldn't keep people in that unit. For whatever reason, everyone kept breaking their lease. They were in there like 3-4 months, and then they would move out.
I think I remember you mentioning somebody getting shot and or shooting themselves. Like, yeah. I think you told us that story. Or not the whole story, not like that you lived in it and all that stuff. But I think you told us that, or Sarah, it might have been Sarah, because I remember she was always saying something crazy like that. She's like, yeah, this person died, somebody got killed in this one or whatever, you know? And it's like, wow. But
yeah.
Geez, that's crazy. Wow. That's wild.
I guess I will add really quick that as leasing agents, you guys know, one of the main points in being a salesperson is creating that connection with people, you know?
That rapport.
And I think that comes really easy for all three of us. Yeah, we're just very easygoing and kind of open to everybody's lives, like walks of life. We don't prejudge people easily. We're like, oh my God, tell me more. Like, I want to know more. I remember particularly in the old property, Brookfield, I rented an apartment to a Native American guy. He was really young. He was maybe like 22. And there was this unit that had just been vacated that he was really interested in. And he was like, I want it. He came, brought me his deposit. I was an assistant manager then. So I had already been promoted.
I was still working with you then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you became leasing manager. I'm helping this guy. And I remember he was like, I'm ready to do it. But are you okay? My medicine guy comes through. And I was like, 100%. Like,
just a smudge, right? And stuff.
Well, just to kind of feel the vibe and give like the final approval. And I was like, yeah, sure. No problem. Well, the medicine guy comes through.
He's like, hell no.
And they come back to my office. You guys remember your mom's old office?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In the back, right?
Back corner, yeah.
Yep. And they come back and he says, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to forfeit my deposit.
Not that one.
Yeah. He goes, I can't live here at all.
Like, not even the community?
No. Like, at all.
Oh, because I know what you're going to say. Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, tell me more. And he was like, my medicine man came, we walked through the apartment. He said there's a really evil entity living there. And the people that lived there before was a couple. And he's telling me this. He said there was a couple there. The girl got pregnant. The demon took the baby. And they broke up. And
what
you guys,
the heck?
It was to
That's what
a
happened?
T.
For real?
To a T.
Dude, I got chills.
It was
Wait, so you knew this already happened? Like,
yes.
Something bad?
Yeah.
You didn't know there was a demon
involved,
but you, like, knew
I didn't know. Like, damn. When this couple moved in, they seemed like they were solid. They were so in love. I knew she was pregnant. Like, because you find all these little details about people,
to.
Right?
You
like, that's
alive.
A part
they're
of our
livelihood.
Job.
Right. Yeah. Some heavy stuff.
And it was wild that he had told me that, because they broke their lease. Because they weren't together anymore. And she came and told me the whole story. Like, we just didn't work out and I had a miscarriage and all this stuff happened. But obviously they were oblivious to whatever supernatural
force, whatever was. Either oblivious
on.
Or they didn't want to tell you that part because it sounds crazy. But maybe they really were involved in that and they
But I'll never forget the fact that the medicine man told the new resident everything that had happened there.
Man.
There was a girl here. She lost her baby.
Wait,
there's
he told
a demon
the,
here.
The next person that rented it?
Yes.
Well, he told the kid.
The native.
The kid was native and he asked
his medicine
man to come. And so the medicine man said, you can live here.
Yeah. And he did. He deposited or he forfeited his deposit.
Lost
and,
money. Just
yeah.
To get out
and
of there.
He was totally okay with it. And he told me, I remember him saying, this apartment complex is built on sacred and Native American burial ground. No. And then so many things made sense to me at that point. And it was like, oh my God, you know, like you guys, I was so oppressed at that time. Like, to the point where you can't go to sleep, like you're so afraid.
It sucks. Yeah.
It did. It made me feel loony. Too. Like, what's going on with me? Is this really who I am? Like, it was just crazy.
I used to wait at my, right here, this place. It's cleansed, obviously, now, but I used to wait with my key after work.
Before entering.
I don't want to go in. Cause I'm,
oh, hell no.
And then I couldn't come in here. I literally couldn't come in this room.
He slept on his couch. I would sleep on the couch
for almost 6 months because I would hear shuffling under this bed every single night, nonstop. Like this.
Like it's underneath the bed. Just yeah. And then imagine what your mind does.
Well, I'm not going to look under the bed because I don't want to see what I'm going to see that's going to destroy me. So I'm just going to act like it's not happening for the whole night.
Yeah.
So it was bad. It was really bad for a while there. So I know what you're saying. Like the oppression. I couldn't sleep. Like
it's a real feeling.
I was tired every day at work. Then I started feeling depressed. Like, you know,
and it melds into the dreams too. That's the problem. Is it melds right into the dream state too? Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And they use that dream
state. Then you're confused, Rick.
To mess with you even more, and, you know, because the dream state is like that's the time when it's like, okay, things can be weird, you know, because you're dreaming. So it's like things can be kind of weird.
But are we dreaming
or not?
Are we astral projecting? Are we tapping into different realities? Are we, are our consciousness is spread out? You know, they say time is relative, like present, future,
it's all the same
past. Sometimes. We're all living the same timeline, but
it's like the
we
same
just kind of don't feel it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just like,
I like that the idea was one of astral the projection. Maybe you are, maybe it's like when those evil entities are oppressing, they're calling your astral projection out to meet them in that same space.
Right.
So it is real. Yeah. It's like more real than you can imagine. Even more real than our actual bodies almost.
Exactly.
But you got that. You've heard of the silver cord that's tied to you when you're in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that doesn't know, they always say you have the silver cord tied around you. And if that breaks, then you're gone forever.
Then you're gone. Yeah.
You can't
wake
up. Your
soul's gone. Your body's gone. Everything's gone.
Right.
Very interesting. Let's take a little break real quick.
Yeah, take a break.
From the break, we all recharged, we feeling good. Vicky, I heard, you know, we were talking here right before this, and it sounds like you've got some, even you're turning the ante up. You know, you had some ghostly things, some scary things. Now it's like it's getting even scarier. It's pure evil, hence the devil, the name of the devil. You know, we hear it get thrown around, and you think the pitchfork and the red body and the horns and all that stuff, but like what was that to you? I know you had an experience that sounds really scary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess just to preface a little bit, I was born and raised LDS, you know, just the idea of black and white, I guess, a little bit. So my entire childhood, we were a little bit meek and humble. You know, we didn't have a whole lot. My dad landed a job as a motivational speaker, and
I remember you said that back then.
With Stephen Covey. Mm-hmm. But even then, my dad was a math professor and an astrophysicist prior to him coming with Stephen Covey. So I grew up with a dad that was really open. Like, he would tell me there's definitely ways that people can walk through walls, like just the metaphysical, because
so he believed in it big time.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Like, he was into physics, so he knew like what that meant.
The vibrations and things.
Absolutely. Yeah, like there's an angle and there's a temperature and there's things that kind of go into that. And he really opened up my mind to that. So at this time, our family was doing a little bit better, and we lived in a nicer part in Mexico. I was born and raised there.
How old were you at the time?
I was 8 because I had just gotten baptized.
Dude, we've been talking about 7 to 10 year old, 7 to 10 range.
I was really spiritual too. Like, I've always been open to the spiritual realm. It's just, I don't know if it's because I'm a true Pisces, but I feel like I have a really open aura.
Aura.
I'm so Mexican. Aura. But I've always kind of been open to just energy, you know, even since that time. And I remember up until that point, I shared a room with my brothers. I just barely had a little sister. I was 9 years old. Michelle had just been born. And I was just, you know, with my reckless little brothers. And so at that point, we're doing better. My mom and dad purchased a bigger home. And they had actually separated, like, his office. He made an office into the house.
Oh, nice.
That had a separation between the house and the office and the lobby area and, like, the private office, right? And time had passed, so he had an office at the corporate site, and he didn't have a need for that home office anymore. And I was the oldest. I had my two little brothers that I always shared my room with, and then my little sister that had just been born. Mm-hmm. And I remember just asking for my own space, and he was like, you know what? You can go ahead and take...
The office?
The office. But the office was completely closed down from the entire house. Like, there was a legit wall...
Like a separation.
...with a door where you walked into the lobby and the office part, right?
Okay.
The office became my room. And so my parents furnished it that weekend. Like, I was super excited to finally have my own room and not be around my little brothers. And I had just gotten baptized, born and raised LDS, like I said. And I was really into the church. Like, spirituality has always been big for me. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. So... We lived in Monterrey, which is super close to the border to Laredo, Texas, like 2 hours maybe. And my parents and my cousin's parents would take turns leaving the kids with each other so that I could go and like spend the weekend over in the other side, which meant, Mexico, you know, the U.S.
Oh, the U.S.
Yeah, because we were on the dark side. We wanted to go to the bright side. And they came and they dropped my cousins off. And I remember I was so excited because I've had my room for like 2 days. I got to have my cousin come over and like, we're going to have girls time. And
but this is your cousin from U.S.? She lived
This is my cousin from Mexico.
Okay, gotcha.
My cousin Betsy. Yeah. Which is crazy because we're still friends and this is a memory that we still share together that we seldomly talk about because it was such a dark memory for both of us.
Was she the same age around?
She's a year and a half younger than
I am.
So
she was like seven-ish?
Yeah.
Six and a half.
So I was eight and she was probably like seven.
Six and a half.
Anyway, I remember I was so excited to like, share my space with her, you know? Like, I'm in my own room. Oh, my God. This is going to be great. And we're in my room. I remember, you know, just being, like, heavily influenced by the church. Like, we read our scriptures every night. And we were reading the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. And both of us are just sitting there. We're reading. We're so into it. And all of a sudden, we hear. But you have to remember that the door from my room went into the lobby. And then the lobby also had a door that went into
the main house. So somebody
was
in the lobby knocking, is what you're saying.
Right. So we heard a knock. We opened the door. Nobody's there. We're like, okay, whatever. It's our stupid little brothers. Because our brothers...
Playing pranks.
Yeah.
Pranksters.
Like,
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
It was crazy the vibe.
Kids.
Like,
yeah.
our brothers
That's what the
were
older sister, you gotta do it.
All the time.
Yeah.
So like, okay, whatever. We go back into the room. We keep reading. And... we hear a knock again. It was like super faint like that. We go, we hurry up and open the door and we're looking behind the couches. We're like, and the door between the lobby and the main house was closed. And so we're like, they gotta be hiding behind the couches, whatever. So we're looking, we couldn't find anybody.
So the lobby was kind of big. It had a couple couches.
It did.
And,
yeah.
Okay, nice.
So I was scared. At this point, I remember looking at my cousin and I was like, let's go tell my mom and dad. So I remember going to their room. My little sister was a newborn.
Yeah.
I was like 9 years old. And I go into the room. My mom says, okay, well, why don't you guys just go and grab your mattress, grab your pillows and come and put them in the main room and you guys can sleep there. We're right here. Okay. So as we're going back into the lobby, into the main room, I don't know if you guys remember this. Maybe you're, I don't know, older than me, but our bed, the base, was wooden slats.
I remember that, yeah, yeah.
And there was holes in between the slats, right? And then you put the mattress on top. Yeah. And back in the day, back in the early 90s, we had bed skirts.
Yeah, yep.
So we would put the bed skirt over the frame. Yeah. And then you put your mattress over and then, you know, dress it like you wanted. And I remember my mom was like, go over there, grab the mattress, grab your stuff, put it in the front room, it'll be fine. And we're like, okay. We go into the room and I'm standing, the bed is like long ways to my left. And I asked my cousin to come into the narrow way so that she could like pick up the narrow side and I could pick up the long side. And underneath the mattress, there was the bed skirt, which is just piece of linen, right? But there's slats in between it, right? And so we go in and we lift up the mattress and the mattress is kind of sitting up against me. Betsy is on the far end and she's trying to grab the end of the mattress so that we can like push it together.
But it's like leaning on you.
Right. Mattress. It's leaning on me. Yeah. It's still probably like it comes up to my nose. I'm tiny at that point. And I remember we lifted it up and I remember looking down and all of a sudden I saw something come up in between the bed slats that just rose the skirt of the bed. Mm-hmm. Almost like a hand. Like
you could see the hand pushing it up.
It looked like a hand coming through, but it was wider when it got to the top. Something that couldn't fit in between the slats.
Right. So it got wider as it came out. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
And I looked down, and I'm looking at it, and I remember pointing. And I'm trying to tell my cousin Betsy, like,
there's something there.
Something's here, but all of a sudden, my throat was shut. Like,
it seized up.
I couldn't talk.
Your whole shock factor, like, it just shut it down.
For whatever reason, I was stuck. And I remember just pointing at it, and she was making fun of me. She was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I remember pointing, like, I couldn't talk, you guys. Like, I couldn't get it out. And she's looking at me like, you're so dumb. And then she looks down and she sees this elevated piece of linen. Fabric, right? And she starts screaming. I still can't talk. I'm like, okay, well, at least someone's seeing what I'm seeing. I go around the corner and I grab her hand. And as soon as I grab her hand to grab her out, I will never forget the voice, the depth of the voice, the energy that came from that voice. And it spoke in Spanish, and it said, soy el diablo.
I am the devil.
Y te voy a matar. And I'm going to kill you.
Okay.
And you guys, it was a grunt. Like, it was a gruntle, like.
Like, it was, did it,
I can,
sound,
I can't
did
even,
it sound like it had, like, three voices in one sometimes? Because I hear that all the time from, like, these.
It
these
was like demonic. A multi-dimensional.
Yeah. You hear a high, a mid, and a low.
But it was also really just like a, I don't know how to explain it to you guys. It was like a, just like a mix of sounds, but it was very echoey and very deep.
That's creepy.
And I remember, like, when he said that, I was like, just remember looking to my left because the door to the house was on the left. And I looked over at my cousin and her eyes were big. And I was like, I'm getting out, right? I'm running. She trips at the door frame. And I turn around and I remember grabbing her hand and I dragged her out. Like, I was running so hard and fast. And I remember just thinking, I'm not going to leave you here. And I ran with her. And I remember her being hurt because I dragged her. Yeah. But I dragged her and I left her in the front room after we crossed that door. And then I remember running into my parents' bedroom where I almost crushed Michelle, my little sister, because I was so scared. Like, it was like a boom. Like, I just jumped on the bed. And I was so freaked out. And my dad was like, what's going on? And I was like, somebody's here. Like, we heard this. Da, 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 da. And I remember we had these curtains in the front room that kind of like, it was kind of like a storage area where we had like these running curtains all around. And he went and checked there. He went and checked my room. He checked everywhere. And he was like, there's nothing here. And Betsy and I just, like, that did not calm our heart.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember my mom singing hymns to us until, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. And even then, I was like, I'm not going to sleep. I cannot go to sleep. Like, there is something in this house that wants me and Betsy, and I'm not going to sleep. And after that, I feel like it kind of opened up, like, a portal to the energy that we were feeling. And
I could tell you were visibly shaken when you were explaining it earlier. Oh. And, like, just remembering the voice and all the memories coming back and stuff. Like, it's probably scary to kind of relive it again. But especially, like, it's good that you have validation with, like, your cousin being a part of it, too. And stuff like that. But, like, that's really scary. Because what really was the... I think the devil doesn't really have, like, the authority to just take a random person like that.
Yeah.
But, obviously, it's like...
But it was manifesting, that's what you'll believe. Like, where it was, like, coming out of that slat area. You know, your hand couldn't go through that slat, right?
Exactly.
It was, breaking physical boundaries, like,
also,
for sure.
Yeah. So you saw the physical nature of it in a way, and then all of a sudden you heard it, which is creepy. So
and you
had
think
the two...
Do you think the knocking was...
And the knock,
too. Do you think the knocking was the same situation then? Same
Well, it was for sure that, because I guess I want to preface a little bit. In the LDS religion, we get baptized at 8, right? Because we believe that consciousness...
Age of accountability.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, it expands at age 8. Like, whether you're baptized or you're not, it doesn't matter. This is the point where God gives you full consciousness.
I believe
it. Boom.
I have a son who's 7, and right now he is, he's the smartness that's coming out. Yeah, very much. Like, he's like, he's noticing things. He's noticing when he's doing wrong things, when he's doing right things. He's right at this point now. Before that, I couldn't say that, but now I'm like, yeah, he's doing that now, where he's like, oh, I feel bad because I did that. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, he cares a lot more about, like, what's going on, you know? Yeah,
it was just a super crazy experience, and I think from then...
But you didn't see
You
didn't see, like, a physical, besides the sheet coming up and getting wide, you didn't. Right. You just heard the voice, you didn't see, like, a physical face.
I didn't.
Or anything, which is good. That would have been a lot more detrimental, probably.
No, for sure. Yeah. But I will tell you guys... To that nature, I think that there's a gift that's been kind of passed down throughout the generations. My mom actually is super, like, skeptical. Like, she is, I will come to her and she'll be like, really? Like, are you sure it wasn't this? It wasn't that? And that was my experience as a child. Like, I would come to her and be like with my haunted doll experience, you know, I'd be like, did you move her? And she'd be like, Vicky, like, it's okay. Why are you thinking these things? You know, and they were very gospel oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they were always trying to kind of debunk that super metaphysical part that I had as a child and kind of almost like erase it, you know?
Don't give it power, basically, or something.
Right. But I will tell you
but
that
it
my
affects
mom,
you, though, a little bit.
Well, of course, because that's your own experience.
I remember how you're
saying,
like, you wish, like, how you say our mom, it's cool that she's, like, accepting of us.
Yeah.
Telling her those things. Yeah, it's hard when, and most people we grew up with, especially, too, like, when they have those experiences, they can't tell anybody. Like, back then, they couldn't tell anybody. Because it was always like, oh, you're crazy, Leah. But it's okay. I think it's good to have a skeptical parent and a non... Like, if your dad was more open to, like, the astral world.
And he was. And
it's kind of cool that there's two of them. Doing different things, you know.
For sure. And I think, too, so kind of on a side note, my dad has, you know, he grew up, he's a convert in the church, just super strong in that spiritual side.
Yeah.
When I became a teenager, I remember just talking to him about different experiences that I had. And, of course, that experience, I feel like they wanted to believe us, but also they were like, is this real? Like, how are we going to get through it, you know?
Yeah.
He just always believed in the metaphysical, and so I always did, too, to the point where he just, validated all of that for me. And my mom didn't. My mom was very like, oh, well, maybe it can be this or it can be that.
Yeah.
I had a grandmother, though, that was super open.
Yeah.
I remember her being like, death visited me one night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, tell me more. You guys know my grandma is like a second mom to me. Like,
yeah.
When we came to the States, my parents had several jobs. My grandma really was, she was like my person. Yeah. When I came home from school and everything, and she shared experiences with me all the time. She was super like, I believe in that. And
yeah.
And she had a sister that was a hard ass. Like, she had a sister that was like in the revolution. She was fighting grown men. Like, her sister was a baddie, right? They saw things and they heard things that
dang.
Couldn't be explained. You know, my grandma told me one day, which, you know, the older she got, I was like, I wanted to gain as much knowledge. Like, tell me all your stories because I want to know.
Yeah.
She said that one night death visited her. And I said, well, tell me about it. And she said, there was an orb that came in. And I have to tell you guys this really quick. My grandmother was born in 1923. She lived in a ranch that had no potable water, no electricity, nothing.
Like well water
it type was, of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not even well water.
They lived by a river and were so deep into Mexican folklore myths, right? And at this time, La Llorona was a myth that was 100 years old.
But it continues to this day.
But the thing is that she relates a story where she was little. So my grandmother's mom died when my grandma was six due to childbirth complications.
Oh,
and
no.
She's the second youngest. And so she had a Nina. And a Nina is a godmother.
Yeah.
It's a godmother that takes care of you. It pretty much takes over the motherly part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her Nina told her, if you ever see a ball of light, it's usually communication, or there's a treasure buried, because we're Mayan, we're Aztec, and there's treasures that are buried throughout the land. So if you do, you need to let me know. And my grandma relates a story that she was 16 years old. She saw an orb of light come through her door. There was no light at this point in the ranch, which is meek and humble, you know.
Candlelight type stuff.
Yeah.
No street lights, no car lights. No
well, in the Americas, I feel like if you got a ranch, it's because you're rich, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Mexico, it's the opposite. You got a ranch is because you're
super humble. Oh, our grandma also grew up in Morgan, Utah, and they lived in a very small cabin with like a little tub that they'd have to fill pot water in. And it was the youngest bathing first to the oldest, and that's all they
had. And that's how you do it, right?
They lived very humble, too, yeah. Going to continue the story, so go ahead.
Where did I leave off?
You left off talking about like some orb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think my grandma was maybe about 16 years old, and in my, you know, talking with her, she shared stories, and she said that she had seen an orb. And in her experience, and I will tell you guys in her words, she said, death visited me. And I said, okay, well, tell me why. And she said, this orb showed up in the doorway. It climbed up and it was dancing around, but it climbed up my bed and then it disappeared back into the doorway. So my grandma had a Nina, which is a,
like a godmother.
And the godmother always told her, if you see a ball of light and they're showing you something, it's because there's money or treasure buried in the grounds. So pay attention where they bury themselves.
And let her know, you said, right? Her know about where that's at.
Let us know where that's going on. And they did. They, like, dug up the door frame and everything. They weren't able to find anything, but that was just an experience that my grandma had that was supernatural. It was an orb. Yeah. Like, how many of us have ever experienced an orb?
Did she ever describe the look of it? Like, the color or anything
It was fire, is what she said.
Fire?
It was fire.
So it was like amber colors.
It was like an amber
oranges
color.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
And even then, so my grandma grew up in the ranch, which is a humble thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, in the Americas, if you have a ranch, it's because you have a surplus of money. If you're in Mexico, it's totally the opposite. Like, it's because you're growing up from humble beginnings. You're trying to make some
money, right?
Yeah, you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
My grandma talks about hunting deer, eating deer, you know, just hunting. And, I mean, she grew up around scorpions and snakes and like,
yeah,
it's crazy because I grew up being obsessed with ranch life. Like, I really wanted to be a part of that.
And I still love it myself, so
and
sounds cool.
And just to kind of know, you know, my grandma made butter, even though she didn't, because her thing was I couldn't make butter because my hands were too warm. Like, the milk part of it, like, her hands, it was just melted, right? And so yeah. her sister would take care of that, and she would take care of a different part of it. But she was still punished because her hands were too warm. Like,
oh, wow.
You can't make butter.
Yeah. So, did they churn it?
Well, they churned it with their hands.
They literally just did it with their hands.
It was just with their hands. But my grandma did have an experience. So my grandma was the second youngest. There was four of them, and my great-grandmother passed away due to childbirth after my grandma was born. Mm-hmm. She had one more brother after her, and then there was twins that died when she died. So she grew up with her Nina, which mm-hmm. was her godmother, right? And she did just experience a lot of things, and one of the things that she did share with me was La Llorona was...
Yeah, that's what I want to get
Mexican into. Mexican folklore is a huge part of our culture.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's Chupacabra and it's...
La Llorona. La Mano Pachona. Have you guys heard of La Mano Pachona?
No. It's like a werewolf, right?
So La Mano... No.
No, no.
So La Mano Pachona was born in Puebla, which is one of, like, the most... Cinco de Mayo is actually based on Puebla, which is not even Independence Day or anything, but it's a fight that Mexico had against Mexico, right?
Okay, yeah.
But Puebla is a very supernatural place, and Grandma was just like, okay, like, into all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
La Llorona, she heard of it, and she lived by a river because they lived in such a rural area. They didn't have a well. They didn't have none of that stuff, not potable water, not electricity, any of that. They had to go to the river, gather their water, and wash their clothes. And one of the things that she mentioned was that her sister, she was just a hard ass, and she wasn't afraid. And they went to the river one night because they missed laundry day, and she said that they got there, and as soon as they got there and started washing their clothes or, like, putting them in the river, they heard wailing.
All right, that's it for part one of Vicky's experiences. Join us again when we get part two posted. You won't want to miss it.
I'm coming. Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.